Good morning. Today's reading is from Psalm 124, reading from the New International Version. A Song of Ascents of David. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive. When their anger flared against us, the flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us been torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. This is the word of the Lord.
Our Father, we pause for a moment as we tune in for the week to your words. We'd like to thank you for these words that come to us from Israel in exile. And as we consider Israel in exile, we in some ways say that we ourselves are a people in exile. And we pray, Lord, that you would make the words of this psalm real to our lives, that we will be able to apply it. And we pray, Lord, that yours will be the glory, that thy kingdom will come. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the people said, Amen. I was driving south very innocently on Winston Road in Mississauga. I was on my way to pick Luke up from school. It was around 2:30 p.m. on a sunny weekday afternoon in May of this year. My main aim was to pick up Luke, get him into the car, and get him to drive home. He's learning how to drive. And I wanted him to practice that driving home that day. Now, contrary to what my family says of me, I was very careful to keep the speed on the road that day. I was heading south. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, a car turns west into my pathway. I tried to swerve to the right to avoid it. However, it hit the left front of my car. The left side of my car above the wheel and the left side of my bumper were dented. So we exchanged insurance and ownership details, and in our conversation, it became very clear that the driver of that car who knocked my car was distracted and was in deep thought as they turned into my direction. That person did not see my red car coming down from the south. We went to the police station and filed the report together. With that police report, we were instructed to approach our insurance companies and file a claim. I had the police report number and the particulars of the other insurance company. Within 2 hours, I was speaking to an insurance adjuster about my claim. I explained to the adjuster about my incident, and then a profound moment occurred. The insurance adjuster asked me this question, which threw the whole thing into perspective. Very innocent question, but a very profound question. When the incident occurred, were the airbags deployed? I suddenly thought to myself, it could have been worse. Thankfully, Luke was not driving at that moment, and if I did not swerve a bit to the right, perhaps the airbags might have been deployed. Both the driver of that car and myself were emotionally shaken, but we did not suffer any injuries. So, The songwriter of this psalm, Psalm 124, has a similar idea about the plight of Israel. The songwriter captures the gratefulness of Israel. And this is the message of the psalm. Things could have been worse if Yahweh, if the Lord, was not with us. Things could have been worse if Yahweh, the Lord, was not with us. And so this is how the songwriter starts off the psalm. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say. If the Lord had not been on our side when the people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive when their anger fled against us. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters could have swept us away. So Bible scholars tell us that there are two metaphors that are used to describe the dangers facing Israel with these words. The first is that of a sea monster swallowing them up. And the second is that of floods and raging waters drowning them up. So these metaphors cannot be taken lightly. Israel is nearly swallowed up or drowned. However, Yahweh the Lord is on their side and saves them from these disasters. We must remember that Psalm 124, as I've been trying to share with you for the last third Sunday. Psalm 124 is a group of psalms called the Songs of Ascents. Israel sings these songs as they go up to Jerusalem for the Passover festival and other festival they might go to Jerusalem for. Israel is in exile and far away from Jerusalem. Pilgrims from Babylon and all over the Mediterranean travel far to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. Most of them are second or third generation Jews who did not grow up in Jerusalem. However, their parents keep their family faith alive and tell them about Jerusalem and Solomon's temple. And this is the message that their parents tell them, which is the subject of this psalm. Things could have been worse. Things could have been worse if Yahweh, the Lord, had not been on our side. We need to remember the backdrop behind the Songs of Ascents. The backdrop is 586 BC when King Nebuchadnezzar conquers Jerusalem and takes Daniel's generation as slaves to Babylon. And if you read the book of Lamentations in the Old Testament, you will find some indication of the gruesomeness of Nebuchadnezzar's acts of conquering Jerusalem and burning the temple. And maybe the prayer at that time would have been if the Lord had not been outside, maybe their prayer then was, is the Lord truly on our side? This is how Lamentations starts. Lamentations 1:1. How deserted lies the city, once so full of people. How like a shadow is she, who once was great among the nations. She who was queen among the provinces has now become a slave. The truth is that when Nebuchadnezzar conquers Jerusalem, it is gruesome. Men, women, and children lose their lives. Young men are displaced and brought to Babylon as slaves. And perhaps when looking back, Israel can sing in Psalm 124, if the Lord had not been on our side, things could have been worse. Yet I wonder if in the very act of Nebuchadnezzar conquering Jerusalem in 586 BC, their prayer would have been, is the Lord truly on our side? God, where are you when these pagan armies are overrunning Jerusalem and burning our temple down and killing our men, women, and children? God, where are you? And I'm sure you are quite familiar with that kind of prayer in your life. This coming fall at St. Andrew's Streetsville, we are hoping to start a Wednesday Bible study in the afternoon. I have picked the curriculum for it. It is Nabil Qureshi's 8-session study on seeking Allah finding Jesus. When Nabil Qureshi published his book, Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus in 2014, little did he know that God was calling him to be an evangelist among Muslims and equipping all of us to share our faith with Muslims in our lives. But God was also calling him to be a promoter of a healthy dialogue between Muslims and Christians. Nabil was a rare gift to the church. Nabil was both an evangelist and a peacemaker. However, in the summer of 2016, Nabil was diagnosed to have inoperable stomach cancer. There were many people who were praying for him. And perhaps this too would have been a valid question for Nabil and Michelle and his daughter Ahia to pray at that time. Is God truly on our side? Here is a young man which so full of potential and has been given 9 months to live with inoperable stomach cancer. And what's more, there is this touching video between him and his father, who is still a Muslim, which you just have to find. You just Google Nabil Qureshi and father. And both of them are having this conversation about Nabil's cancer. And Nabil hangs on to his faith in Jesus. And Nabil's father says, I'm still a Muslim. And what I detected from that video is cancer is no respecter of people. Whether you are Muslim or whether you are a Christian, when a stomach cancer strikes you, we have questions to pray in our lives. Is God truly on our side? And depending on the situation, we pray through the struggle we have. Whatever it is, in his finest form, his last video to us before God took Nabil home was to share that his faith, that all the videos and teachings that he had shared with us should not be misused for hate against the Muslims. And these are essentially his last words to us before he goes home to be with Jesus in a day or two. When we talk to people about our beliefs, we should do it through the lens of love. And the whole point should be to bring people together, to bring people together to the truth, and not to hurt one another, but to help one another. My whole point in teaching is for love to reign. So it is not only the sea monster and the raging waters that plague Israel. Israel has been taken captive to Babylon. Then, out of the blue, when no one is expecting it, a miracle happens. And it occurs 40 years after Nebuchadnezzar brings the captives to Babylon. In 538 BC, Cyrus the Persian conquers Nebuchadnezzar at Babylon. So in Ezra chapter 1, Ezra tells us that Cyrus allows Israel to return to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. Some of the Jews return, but some stay in Babylon because they have found new life in Babylon, and some of them move all over the Mediterranean. And so perhaps the songwriter would have this liberation of Israel from Nebuchadnezzar in mind when he refers to a bird that has escaped from the fowler's snare in this psalm. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. And in Isaiah, there is this acknowledgement that God is in control whether they are in Babylon or Jerusalem. I am the Lord, the maker of all things, who stretches out the heavens, who spreads out the earth by myself. And later on in that particular chapter, this is what the Lord says of Cyrus. Who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and will accomplish all that I please. He will say of Jerusalem, let it be rebuilt, and of the temple, let its foundations be laid. The same word shepherd is used for this pagan king Cyrus. It's also used for the beloved king of Israel, King David. Jesus, God calls Cyrus and David his shepherd. Something to ponder about. The songwriter is grateful before God. Not only is Israel saved from the sea monster and the raging waters, Israel is saved from the terror of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. God replaces Nebuchadnezzar with the Persian king Cyrus. And Cyrus facilitates the return of Ezra and the exiles back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple and the city. And you remember these words in Jeremiah 29 when the Lord told them, after 70 years, I will bring you back to Jerusalem. My plans are to prosper you and not to harm you. My plans are to give you hope and a future. Jeremiah 29, 10 and 11. And God fulfilled his promise to them from Jeremiah 29. So the Jews have spread beyond Babylon and all over the Mediterranean. And then in Acts chapter 2, they return to Jerusalem as they have always done annually. And these Psalms that we read, Psalm 120 to 134, confirm that the Jews have been returning back to Jerusalem for their festivals. And in Acts chapter 2, they all come for the festival of Pentecost. And some of them have lost their Hebrew, and they are speaking the language in which they settled down in the Mediterranean, whether it's in Alexandria, whether it's in Babylon, or whether it's anywhere in the Mediterranean. And God pours out his spirit in Acts chapter 2, and everyone hears someone praising God in their language. God, the maker of heaven and earth, is looking after Israel, even in exile. And there is even something more profound. In the exile of Israel to Babylon, God is laying foundation for the event of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Pilgrims come from all over the Mediterranean who have lost the Hebrew language to celebrate the festival of Pentecost. And in Acts chapter 2, we have the beginnings of who we are, brothers and sisters. We have the beginnings of the church. And it is in this Acts chapter 2 that people hear other people praising the wonders of God in their own language. I am grateful to the Lord that Luke was not in the car and that the airbags were not deployed. I know that Michelle and Aya Qureshi have lost Nabil and miss him. However, Nabil is still present to us in literature and video, equipping another generation of believers to share their faith. God, the maker of heaven and earth, is looking after Luke, is looking after me, is looking after the other driver, is looking after Michelle Qureshi, is looking after Aya Qureshi. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Can you repeat that with me right now? Our help is in the name of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. When I suggested to Pastor Ian that we study Psalms 120 to 134 in the summer, I had in mind this book, which is based on Psalm 120 to 134. Eugene Peterson's A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. Discipleship in an Instant Society. Discipleship is not instant. discipleship is a long obedience in the same direction. That is what Eugene Peterson is trying to tell us as we pray to Psalm 120 and 134. And Eugene Peterson taught me how to pray the Psalms. And basically the message is this. Life is tough. Life is difficult. Israel lost Jerusalem and the temple. Men, women, and children were killed. Daniel's generation was taken to Babylon as slaves. Yet, in this psalm, the songwriter says that things could have been worse if the Lord had not been on our side. Four times, Yahweh, the Lord, is mentioned. And God saves them from the sea monster, from the raging waters, and from the fowler's snare. Let's look at Psalms, page 79, as Eugene Peterson summarizes Psalm 124. A look to the heavens can bring a breathtaking sense of wonder and majesty. And if a person is a believer, a feeling of praise to the God who made heaven and earth. This psalm looks the other direction. It looks into the troubles of history, the anxiety of personal conflict and emotional trauma. And it sees there the God who is on our side, God our help. The close look, the microscopic insight into the dragon's terrors, the flood waters and the imprisoning trap, sees the action of God in deliverance. We speak our words of praise in a world that is hellish. We sing our songs of victory in a world where things get messy. We leave our joy among people who neither understand or encourage us. But the content of our lives is God, not humanity. We are not scavenging in the dark alleys of the world, poking in its garbage cans for a bare subsistence. We are traveling in the light, toward God who is rich in mercy and strong to save. It is Christ, not culture, that defines our lives. It is the help we experience, not the hazards we risk, that shapes our days. We are going to be closing now in a moment of silent prayer, and I want you to take to heart the message of this psalm. Things could have been worse if the Lord had not been on our side. So I want you to think of one particular or two particular moments in your life that things could have been worse if God was not there for you. And thank God for it. And then we're going to read this psalm as a closing prayer. So a minute of silence to thank God for helping you through that trauma. Amen. Now let us pray through the psalm ourselves. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say. If the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive when their anger fled against us. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. it, we will now present our gifts to God. We will take the offering.